My next guest was a chef working in five-star hotels, busy, hectic, stressful life, as we know. And he left all that, and now he feeds hundreds of homeless people. Well, this week he was honoured for his endeavours receiving what's called an EU Together We Protect Award. His name is Trevor Kearns. Good morning to you. And you're very welcome indeed.
Thanks
to
for
the
having
programme.
Me.
You, it was always going to be cooking from when you were a kid?
Yes, I think so. My mother was a great cook, and obviously I found a love for cooking at a very young age. I think earliest memories is baking on a Sunday morning, so from then I was probably hooked without even knowing it.
Right. And you did home economics in school, which got you a lot of slagging.
Yeah, well, like most young boys that age, we would have went kind of directed towards metalwork and woodwork and stuff like that. But I'd say within a short period of time, I decided it wasn't for me. I didn't like the dust. So I moved across to home economics, and luckily I had a friend in there, probably the only other boy in the class. And in the 90s, it was probably not the norm for young adolescent teenagers to go into home economics. So,
right.
It was a bit of, banter at the beginning, but my friend was obviously bigger than me, and he
got
sorry
over it. Yeah. Now, tell us where you have worked as a chef.
Probably first job would have been in Blue Book, Blue Haven down in Kinsale, place like Rotsella House, and then from there I've moved to the Clarence Hotel and worked in America in holiday resorts, came to the Lago in Portugal, the Westbury Hotel, and probably the final full-time hotel job was the opening of Carton House in 2006.
Right, and that was a full-on job.
Yeah, it was probably four kitchens spread over a kilometre and a half, large kitchen brigade, long hours, stress, and probably at a time where an industry where it's struggling to attract staff, so you have less and less supports around you, so each day was getting harder and harder.
Right. What kind of a number of hours would you punch in on a day?
Being an opening hotel, easily you could put in 80 hours a week.
Right.
Start at 7, 8 in the morning, you could be gone home midnight.
And is it very hard to attract staff in now?
Yeah, most definitely. And you've probably seen the news now, the Restaurant Association of Ireland is constantly saying there's a shortage of chefs, and you can see it on the ground. And I've probably seen it 10 years ago in America, and the exact same thing is happening in Ireland now.
Right. Such a pity. Anyway, let me move along. Did you decide, I'm going to get out of this? Or did something come up and you said, I'd like to do that?
It was kind of a bit of both. At the time, probably a year into Carton House, my mother-in-law was seriously unwell, so it kind of pushed me towards taking some time out of the hotel industry. At the time, my wife had been working for Sophia Housing, and she had friends in there, and they did mention that they were hoping to set up a different sort of kitchen.
Right.
So probably that was the catalyst to probably approach
right
Sophia and see what they wanted to do and where they wanted to go.
So what do you do now?
So back then, Sophia had no kitchen. They had community employment staff that were kind of running their hostel kitchen. So back then, homeless charities would have had a bad name for food, and along with hospitals nearly, it's hopefully and most definitely improved over the years. So my role was to come on board and set up a professional kitchen. And luckily, Jean Quinn, who set up Sophia's vision of nutrition and diets, kind of probably matched my passion for good food. So it was
right.
Kind of a happy marriage.
So, and how does it work? How does it operate?
So day to day, we have a coffee shop on site. We have a conference centre.
Where is site?
Well, I will be based in Cork Street in Dublin 8, but we have obviously different projects throughout Ireland, probably 8 projects in total.
Right.
And we're probably growing at an extreme rate. I think 80% the last 3 years. So.
Right.
So my role will be obviously to feed tenants that come from the older hostel. We have a nurturing centre on site. We have a wisdom centre, which is like a conference centre. So everything was produced on site, fresh, everything from raw, and also our staff are all community employment scheme staff.
And where do you get your food?
So when I started, the cost base was just all wrong. We were buying in cheap food at high prices. So I tapped into the contacts that I had in the hotel industry to obviously get best price. I used the buying power of the hotels. From there, I probably went out looking for surplus food myself. Super Queen used to collect bread in the morning. And it kind of just organically grown from there. You met people along the way. And then one day, Isolt walked into our Cork Street project and she was setting up a company called, or a charity called Food Cloud.
Yeah.
At the time, they had Tesco's on board and they were a text system where you would get a text saying there was surplus food, can you collect it? And you'd text back yes or no.
Yeah.
Now, that has grown dramatically into Food Hubs, which is... They have a warehouse in Talla in Broomhill, Galway and Cork.
Now, this is surplus food. This is surplus that's put on supermarket shelves, surplus in hotels. It's surplus food, but it's all fresh food.
Yeah, and even bigger, it's companies such as Glanbia, it's volume. It could be butter, cheese, anything and everything.
So you find out what's available?
Yeah, so once a week we would get an email on a Monday giving an idea of what is in stock. And then depending on your charity, you would get a phone call once or twice a week. And it's basically like an order system. They tell you what you have and it's like ready, steady, cook for us.
And then do you go and collect or do they deliver
to
you?
They have two options. You can either collect or you can actually get a delivery with a small surcharge.
So your recipes or your menus... keep changing all the time?
Yeah, and luckily I have that control and Sophia gave me that control and obviously with my background in hotels, there's a trust there that I can deliver on it. So we don't have any cyclical menus like some charities or hostels. Everything's designed on that phone call on a Wednesday.
Right. And what kinds of things have you decided on based on that phone call on a Wednesday?
It could be anything. Depends on after Christmas, you could get a glut of turkeys. Halloween, you can get pumpkins. So it's just, we're not cooking by seasons anymore. We're cooking by a day, a week or two later.
Right.
So
okay.
it's some of the stuff is bizarre and some of the stuff is.
Yeah. And who are you feeding?
So we have. On our Cork Street project, we have up to 50 apartments, a mixture of family units and single units. So
now, these are full apartments that people live in. It's their home for life. So it's a homeless charity, but they provide the homes.
Yeah, long-term home support. So with our family units, which are encouraged, obviously, in their own apartments.
The family units are encouraged not to come to you?
Yeah, because it's independent living and you're bringing people from the crisis of homelessness and you want to get them back to a normal lifestyle like everyone else lives.
Yes. Yeah. But might they be slipping down to have a deco at what you're doing?
No, look, as I said, there's a coffee shop, so there's a constant stream of people in and out. So you have the nurturing centre, children come out for lunch at 12:30, the residents being at 12 o'clock, you could have staff coming in, having meetings with residents and support meetings. So there's an intergenerational mix there. And we've groups coming from the Wisdom Centre that would be in and out. So there's a nice mix. It's like a community. So it doesn't feel like that old style hostel of everyone is there is in crisis. And it's just a nice atmosphere to work in.
Right. And are they? I mean, they have been in crisis, but they're now, if you get into one of your homes, an apartment, that's your home for life.
Yeah, and I think that was Jane's vision. I think everyone talks about housing first model now. I think Jane's vision was 20 years ago when she set up Sophia was home first and do wraparound supports around that person to keep them in their home.
It sounds like an absolutely wonderful idea. Truthfully, I hadn't heard of Sophia until I was reading about you.
No, we don't have a communications department. We don't have a fundraising department. So I think we just work quietly in the background.
And who funds you?
Funding comes through service agreements with the HSE and we would have some private donors that could obviously share the vision that Sophia's achieved over the years.
Right. So obviously you took a big drop in salary when you made that move.
Yeah, as I said, I was doing 80 hours, so I did take a 25% pay cut at the time, but at the time, I suited what I needed to do in my life, and did I think I was going to be there 12 years later? Probably not. I probably thought I was taking a sabbatical to go back into hotels.
Right.
But like 12 years later, it's a testament. It's such a nice place to work
right.
in.
And tell me about your award.
Well, I was actually on holidays during the week and my phone started helping, so I wasn't really aware that was coming down the line. I was asked by Food Cloud to talk to a European project about how I use Food Cloud, and I left at that, and I honestly didn't think it was up for any awards. So.
Well, there you go, and congratulations. It really does sound like a great, great idea. A caller was on to say, Marion, inspiring man, that chef. I'm so happy you had him on the show. It's not all about the big wigs. It's about extraordinary people doing great things for people who don't always have a voice. So take a bow on that one.
Thank you.
You also train people in your skills.
I do. So with the support of Department of Social Protection, we have a scheme called Community Employment. So we, people are sent to us that are either long-term unemployed or looking to get back into the workforce. So they could come in with some skill set, no skill sets, some personal issues, but we bring them from that base level and we try train them up to level 5 VTEC, and obviously they're getting on.
And where does that leave them?
Well, you're qualified to go out into the catering industry and to work as a kitchen assistant, and after that, well, hopefully they can push on themselves.
Yeah.
We've had huge success rate over the years, so it's another part, another rewarding part of the job.
I could well believe it. And do you prefer that the people you're training are not necessarily close within that unit?
Well, there also has to be divided, but you work with these people and you're in contact with them all day long.
Yeah.
So there is boundaries in place, but there's a vibe in Hot Sophia that everyone's treated equally.
Yeah.
So, and it's just, that's how we work.
That's how you work. And you were saying that a lot of the people that have been through chaos wouldn't have kind of built up discipline and timekeeping. That's all part of it.
Yeah, well, like if you're a long-term unemployed or if you come from a family that has no history of work environment or their parents haven't worked,
yeah,
they just don't understand that there's certain things that is needed to hold down a full-time job, and that's their role, is to actually quietly and gently bring them up without them. Most of the time they don't even notice that they're gaining these skills.
Right, well, it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job you're doing, and congratulations to you. And obviously it's very rewarding, so that's your payment in its own way, isn't it? Though you do private dinners as well.
I do.
To make up the difference.
Yeah, and it's a passion I have, so you just don't turn that passion off.
Okay. Well, listen, Trevor Cairns, and it's the Sophia Project. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us, and we'll go to the Angelus.